The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
And a very good day to you all, and welcome. Oliver Callan in for Ryan Tuberty on this hot and humid Friday morning. It is the last day of July. We have graduated from July, but it kind of flew by compared to the last couple of months, I think we can all agree on. The text is open for business on 51551, and you can email ryan@rte.ie. Let us know what you're up to for the August bank holiday weekend. Yes, it's August. Wasn't that autumn in primary school? Was that a primary school season in the autumn? Something like that. Anyway, traditionally as well, the busiest weekend of the year for weddings, but things are a little different this year, aren't they? There's micro weddings now, so no finger food, no queuing at the bar, no hugs and stuff like that. No dirty, sweaty, packed weddings. With your hangers-on and the far-out relatives that you don't even like attending. So maybe it's not so bad after all. But anyway, best of luck if you are having a micro-wedding this weekend. Bit of reminiscing for you later. We'll be looking back at Italia 90 with Roddy Doyle this morning, how he distilled that era so memorably in The Van, the book and the film, and of course, reflecting on the recent passing of Big Jack. It's all part of an exhibition on World Cup 90 at the Little Museum, so we'll be telling you all about that a little bit later. Other memories are making the headlines today in the Irish Examiner. Memories of Féile 95, 25 years since that famous festival weekend in Portlaoise, and what the punters and what the Irish Examiner say was probably the best lineup of all time. Des O'Driscoll writes in the Examiner today, indeed it's arguable whether it has been matched since, the lineup, which included Blur, The Stone Roses, Kylie, Paul Weller and Moby were the headliners on the main stage. But nearby, a marquee had been set up, branded as the Groove Stage. See, it was 1995 when groove was actually kind of an it word. Even it was an it word. That hosted the likes of Massive Attack, the Chemical Brothers, Underworld and Andrew Weatherall, which passes me by, Andrew Weatherall, all for £45 plus a £150 booking fee. Ah, they're the memories of value. Do you remember a bit of value back in 95? On the upside, Des writes, the young people who'd been demonised in the lead-up to the event showed how perhaps they weren't so bad after all. As one reporter for this newspaper wrote, the festival did not degenerate into a drugs and sex orgy. Much to the disappointment of the youngsters going to the festival, I'd imagine. What else is it? There's an interesting line here. It says, the Stone Roses were shite became the unofficial motto of Féile 95 for the past 25 years. And that is why music writing is very subjective, boys and girls, I think. There's also an interesting line here, which is news to me, referencing the Groove Stage again. Cork had long fancied itself as the nation's dance music capital. Well, there you go. I didn't know that at all. Underworld, of course, were in the soundtrack for Trainspotting. So maybe Cork fancied itself as the Glasgow of Ireland. Yeah, we can all recognise that. Speaking of old festivals of old, Live Aid is in the Irish Daily Star, and Bob Geldof has been saying that he's sick and tired of people congratulating him for his charity work, despite raising more than 100 million euro. The Boomtown Rat singer claimed he's bored of people talking about it, and he tells people he's not proud of his success there. He founded the charity to raise funds for Ethiopia, going on to organise Super Concert Live Aid in 1985. It was repeated in 2005. But he's sick of it. He's 68 now. He says, I don't like it. I don't like Mondays. Not mad about Tuesdays either. And I don't like my charity work. So shut the flip up. All right. It's a bit late for that now, Bob, isn't it? 35 years later, you're tired of talking charity? Sir Bob. Yeah, you took that knighthood, sir. Sir Bob. He's a lovely fella, but, you know, he does a good rant. He does a very good rant. Now, pedestrianisation of Dublin streets has been a hot topic for a long time, and there have been trials of pedestrianising the streets. And you had a lot of businesses who were kind of going, well, this could mean maybe nobody will go into the shops. If you can't bring the cars in, they won't come. So what has been the result? Well, the trial pedestrianisation of streets around Grafton Street, according to RTE.ie this morning, has led to increases of 100% in business, according to a Dublin City Council survey. The hours of the weekend pedestrianisation are now being extended to 11 p.m. for this bank holiday weekend. The first of four weekend pedestrianisations led to increased takings of between 40% and 100%, according to a survey of nearly 300 businesses. So this was all pre-COVID levels, a report. So the pedestrianisation, the kind of extending, widening the streets. So this weekend, the streets will be pedestrianised from 11 in the morning to 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday and Monday in the city centre in Dublin. So that's been welcomed by Dublin Town, which represents the business. So a change in the mood. Not such good news for theatres, as you can imagine. The Gate Theatre, the legendary theatre, is over 90 years old now. It's going to remain shut for the rest of the year because of the pandemic. Its board and management said today all productions will be postponed. They won't open until 2021. And it has been closed, of course, since March. It is one of only two full-time producing theatres in Ireland. The Gate, according to the Irish Times this morning, depends heavily on the box office. 67% of its income comes from ticket sales, 23% from the Arts Council and 10% from fundraising. So they just don't have the financials to keep it going. So they've had to close everything. And it's the largest employer of freelance Irish theatre artists of the 500 people. And this year had been slated to employ 568 people, including actors, writers, directors, for audiences of more than 100,000. So it's gone dark. It's gone dark for the rest of the year, and it will be into 2021 before they're able to open. So sad news there, and sad news for all of those people. The actors, the writers, directors, they're the people who've been getting the pandemic unemployment payment, of which there's been a big hoo-ha all week about. Now, also the Skelligs. Skellig Michael is also staying closed to visitors until next year as well. We had been speaking about this last week, that the OPW was going to assess the risks in terms of COVID-19, and particularly on the boats going over, because people have to, that's where they're kind of close together, and the steps are narrow and everything. So following a review, officials found it's not possible to safely resume trips to the UNESCO World Heritage Site, which is 12 kilometres off the Kerry coast. They hope to resume tours to the island in 2021, but they wouldn't usually happen until springtime anyway. So that's a long, long time. Probably good for the environment on Skelligs, but not so good for the businesses in Port Magee, which is the entry point on land to the Skelligs and the Star Wars fans and all that, who would have been hoping to get there in the month of August. Better news for the Irish Emigration Museum. Children can go free into Epic, the Irish Museum, and the Jeannie Johnson Famine Ship for the month of August, which will save families money and give them entertaining and educational experiences in Dublin. So first, that's from tomorrow to the 31st of August, yes indeed, is available to children aged 16 and under, accompanied by a paying adult. You have to book online for obvious reasons at this stage, but it's a cool thing to go and explore. And the Jeannie Johnston, it's a fixture now on the Liffey, isn't it? And I've never been on board, and I might give that a go over the next couple of weeks. But there you go, it's free for children. So that's a very, very good idea, sensible idea there now. What are you saying on text? Trainspotting is set in Edinburgh. As soon as I said that, I was kind of going, yeah, but isn't there... Oh, it's the worst toilet in Scotland, not the worst toilet in Glasgow. Well, you know, OK, all right, it's Edinburgh. And Cork would very much like to call itself the Edinburgh of Ireland, wouldn't it? Maybe you could mention Riad Khalaf, the Irish YouTuber who won Celebrity MasterChef last night. Some good news, says Gillian. Yes, another Irish lad doing well abroad. Sure, he's huge among the influencers. And we were hoping to go to Banas, as this texter, in Kerry with her family for the August bank holiday. Hopefully it won't rain. Well, yeah, I hope the worst is over in Kerry, because they've had a tough time down there. I'm mentioning Port Magee, but of course the Ring of Kerry was closed yesterday, and the Irish Examiner front page is a story about a family temporarily homeless because of the floods. I mean, you wouldn't have expected that in July, but there you go. And it's raining across much of the country right now, pretty heavily, as I can see from the northwest on my Met Aaron app, which I've been religiously looking at as we approach the weekend. But going to be staying dry in the east until later on, apparently. You heard it on the news. Now, what's happening for Alison Spittle? She's in the news. Why? The Irish Mirror tells us that comedian Alison Spittle has landed a gig with The Beeb, the BBC, co-hosting a new podcast, Wheel of Misfortune, with fellow comic Fern Brady. Set for release next Tuesday, the uninhibited show, well, I mean, it's got Alison Spittle, she can't be inhibited, will feature a weekly, different weekly theme, from bullying, parents, tattoos or theft. And this is where comedy comes into its own, because you can talk about all these awful things through comedy. You can laugh, but you can also get that little pinch of truth in there as well. No better woman than Alison herself. We all love Alison Spittle. So what does it say? BBC says, from Alison talking about the time she got fired from her retail job for letting a family of five shoplift. That's to Fern's dad pretending his new wife was the cleaning lady. It's a no holds barred podcast. How Alison Spittle is that? You could nearly say, couldn't you? So listen out for that next Tuesday, BBC podcast, Wheel of Misfortune. Good title, easy to remember. Codaline, another. We've been speaking about Irish bands all week and the great things that they're doing. Well, a whole host of famous Irish faces are joining forces for Saoirse Summerfest. What's Saoirse Summerfest? Well, it's a virtual concert to help raise vital funds for a little girl who is crippled with a rare form of cancer. A whole host of people are involved. Cleona Hagen, or it's Hagen, I think she says, isn't she? Because she's from up north. Mike Denver, Rory Stories, Blessed, the two Johnnies, of course, Tipperary's finest, and Key West are some of the other acts taking part in the concert. It will be broadcast called Saoirse Summerfest on social media platforms on Sunday, August the 2nd. The little girl is going to require ongoing prosthetics, which range in cost up to 30 grand, modifications of the family home as well to make their lives easier. That event will be streamed online, SaoirseSummerfest.com, spelt the Irish way, Asghaelge, Saoirse, freedom and all of that. Russell Crowe is in the paper. Why? Because our very own Jim Sheridan from the Late Late Show house band, he set up a little project. So he sent Jeff Layton. Jeff Layton is a Scottish musical theatre legend. He was the first person to play Jean Valjean in Les Misérables here in Ireland, even before Colin Wilkinson. And so what did he do? Well, he recorded, he got Jeff Layton singing along to a Les Mis hit, and he sent it to Russell Crowe for the crack. You know, he said, you know, he basically tweeted, I'd pay good money to see him and Jeff singing together. Well, Russell Crowe, of course, being a friend of the late and all of that, he recorded the part, and it is, the results are incredible, spine-tingling.
Then I return, I pledge my word, then I return.
You must think me mad, I've hunted you across the years. Men like you can never change, a man such as you.
There was a
man
duty
like
that
I'm
sworn to do.
No, nothing.
Joe,
no,
five, six,
oh,
all one.
All I did was steal
my duties to
you
the law.
Nothing.
You have no rights.
Come with me, 2 4 6 0 1.
Now,
and
now
before
I see
the
ground, Jean Valjean means nothing now. Dare you talk to me, you
a
friend?
I'm
the price
a
price you have to pay.
Far.
Every man is born in sin. Every man must choose his way. You know nothing of Javert. I was born inside a jail. I was born with scum like you. I am from the gutter too.
Tis fierce. Tis fierce. So fair play to Jim Sheridan, and you can hop along to his Twitter there to see the whole thing live. And I was going to say Technicolor, but it's actually in black and white. But it's just, there's fierce. It's a really good performance by the two of them, particularly by Jeff Layton. He's like, he's got these black eyes and he's very passionate. And, you know, it's, I just got Colin Wilkinson. One dream, whoa. Oh, it's good. And speaking of Russell Crowe, Russell Crowe's in a good film. You haven't heard that in a while. His new film, Unhinged, is getting rave reviews everywhere. Russell Crowe proves he's a bogeyman for a times and quite a setup. You see, it starts with Russell Crowe seething in a pickup truck, then leaving his ex-wife to burn, screaming in the house he's just set on fire. It's a psycho thriller, we're called, and it's pulsating. He's beastly in it, apparently. And he's just kind of having... It's reminiscent, I think, of Michael Douglas in Is It Falling Down? Remember that great, great movie from the 90s, of course, which was the best decade, don't we all remember? What are they saying on the text? Train Spotting is set in Edinburgh, but the majority was filmed in Glasgow. OK, so I'm half right. I'll take that. And that all came out of Fail in 95. I don't know how that happened. Now, speaking of the little kiddies, and they've all been homeschooled and everything. Well, now the children can operate smartphones and computers and they can code and they can probably hack into the CIA headquarters before they even learn how to read. There's a new phenomenon, apparently. Pre-literate children communicating digitally with the language of emojis. Yes, parents of children aged 2 to 5 have been reporting that their children send all emoji texts to family members fairly often. And the linguist Gretchen McCullough has been taking a closer look at these texts to see how emoji characters help children. She says it's a precursor to reading, a way of acclimating kids to the digital reality of using symbols to communicate with people they care about. Wow, that's a bit of a mouthful. Maybe she needs to communicate in emojis herself. But yeah, that's kind of a, is it a good thing? I suppose it is. It's a kind of a, you know, language-free way. You know, it crosses all foreign language barriers. You don't have to translate anything. emojis do the business, except for that crying laughing face one, isn't it? I think Donald Clark wrote extensively on that once. That is just a little bit overused, but then there aren't many options. I go for the closed eyes, non-tear one, you know, when you're laughing at something. Or, as happens in our family WhatsApp group a lot, hand over the mouth because someone has just said something that couldn't be broadcast. Also, something for the little kiddies. Pixar has announced its latest details of its next animated film release, coming-of-age tale called Luca, set in the Italian Riviera. The film will follow the titular boy's unforgettable summer filled with gelato, pasta and endless scooter rides. However, Luca's newfound friend hides a dark secret and is in fact a monster from below the nearby lake surface. Is that a metaphor I can see on the horizon? Yes, yes, it probably is. That kind of reminds me, we were talking about Call Me By Your Name yesterday, and that film is all beautiful pastel colours. I think it's set in the 80s and it has a long, lazy Italian summer, ones that you dream of. You know, the ones you imagine that your childhood summers just went on and you had an idyllic, beautiful time. But the reality is probably like, no, it was the 80s or whatever decade you were in. Anyway, Luca, that's a Pixar film and it's coming out in the Irish cinemas next June. Yeah, we can wait. That's about 10 years away, isn't it? Has anyone been to the cinema lately? Do let us know. 51551. More movies. They need more films, don't they? They get those cinemas back open and running. The IMC is one of their chain is near to me, but I haven't heard of anything from them. Maybe they might let us know if they're going to be reopening, because I know, sadly, the one in Talla is closing permanently. But they've cinemas all over the country and they have a really, really brand new one. I think it only opened last year in Kilkenny. But the cinemas, they need stuff, and there is stuff coming out in August. Right, it's 20 past nine. We better move on. And what better way to move along than with what is probably, I think, the best song of the year? Yeah. Yes, Oliver, I agree with you. Best song of the year, says this texter. That is, of course, The Weeknd. Sure, you know that. And yeah, that's hard to beat. Actually, his other one, is it In Your Eyes? Very good as well. So that's your bank holiday weekend sorted. Text 51551. Very sorry to hear about the gate. Hopefully when they reopen next year, they'll go back to using the stage where it was originally intended and not from the centre where the audience sits, says John in Dublin 11, a purist there. But yeah, I think you're referring to The Great Gatsby, where they took out all the audience seats and you were kind of part of the party. I mean, it was a huge hit. As everything, I tried to get tickets, couldn't get tickets for it, and they brought it back again. And so there's no complaints there now, John, Dublin 11. Please say hello to all the hearty golfers of Carrick on Shannon who are heading out for a long weekend classic, especially Gabrielle, Anna Marie, and herself, Elizabeth, who's texting in. So best of luck all there to everyone in County Leitrim. Greetings, this is an email from Taichung in Taiwan, where I'm walking through the city listening to your interview from yesterday with Eimear McLeish about Circle of Friends. I'm laughing to myself and getting strange looks from passers-by as I'm remembering the great Maeve Binchy's interview about her time coming to Taiwan as a travel journalist and going in search of food. The interview was on the Marion Finucane show, if I recall right, says Father Sean O'Leary. Hello to you in Taiwan. Yeah, and it was she just had a great voice. It was great to hear a clip of her yesterday on her anniversary as well, of course, 2012, 8 years on. Great voice, always a great spirit. Yes, I went with my wonderful wife Jessica and two kids, Emily and Arthur, to see Disney's Onward in Salt Hills. Terrific omniplex with reclining seats, excellent film. Highly recommended, says Joe in Galway. Yeah, that came out streaming and it's in the cinemas now and well worth a look. I saw it as well. And on the weekend, and Blinding Lights, On the Money, the song hooks you up and it never lets you go. I haven't got sick of it. I've played it. God knows I've played it out. But it's very good. It's 25 past nine. We'll take a wee break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. It's Oliver Callan in for Ryan Tuberty, and the text is still coming in for Roddy Doyle. 51551, just finished Roddy's latest love. So that's the novel, he said, it officially launched in October. And obviously some people are getting it online because it was, I suppose, soft launch in May. Those boys in the Irish Examiner, this is a reference earlier on to Fela 95. Obviously never heard of the Flamore and Tremore. If they think Fela 95 had the greatest lineup of all time, the lineup was Bob Dylan, Ray Charles, Van Morrison, Jerry Lee Lewis, John Prine, The Chieftains, Christy Moore, The Pogues, Shane McGowan is listed here separately. That was July 1993, says Tom in Waterford, flying the flag, I should say, for Waterford there. We took our two, this is on the cinemas and cinemas being open. We took our two granddaughters to see Trolls 2 last weekend in the cinema and they were the only ones there, says Margaret from Swords. That must have been a lovely experience, but probably not so much for the cinema. Cork International Film Festival previewed new Irish film Broken Law at the Gate Cinema Cork last night. Opens in cinemas across Ireland today. Please give it a shout out. And for the Gate, best local cinema down in Cork. Great to be back in cinemas with socially distanced, safe, brilliant fun. Lovely experience there for everybody going there. That was from Fiona Clark. What else are we looking at here? Yes, I give a mention to the Orty Show last night with Fontaine's. Can I give a mention, sorry, to the Orty Show last night with Fontaine's in Kilmainham Jail, filmed in the lockdown. All Irish acts in Irish spaces, blown away. Music fan missing gigs. That's Martin from Monaghan. Yep, a lot of people missing live events and also for comedy as well. Don't forget the comedy. We're missing that as well. Blinding Light, this texter says, not quite as good as Take On Me, but all the same sounds. Synth riff is a bit lame. The 80s are back. Well, you know, we're not tolerating that now. You don't say anything like that to the Weekend. He doesn't be dropping vowels in his name, The Weekend, to be cool for nothing. And synth wave, I think, is what they're calling this sort of 80s revolution. Might have been, I suppose, that you can give The Killers the credit for kickstarting that. I think John from Dublin needs to embrace a creativity. Oh, this is The Gate. Yes, the Gate Theatre staged a wonderful production of A Christmas Carol with the stage in the middle of the theatre. A fantastic experience, says Claire from Kilkenny. I went with myself. Owen Rowe was Ebenezer Scrooge and it was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, John, Dublin 11, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. We'll take a break. Plenty of messages again for Roddy Doyle. Kathleen McMahon on Twitter says, fascinating to hear Roddy Doyle saying just now that he received death threats for writing about domestic violence. Just shows you we're all in this together. Yes, that was from the pulpit, obviously, claiming that there was no such thing as domestic violence in Ireland at the time. A boy in my class cut himself on the arm in school. The vice principal said, oh, you must have been watching Family last night, instead of offering him any help. Different times, and it wasn't that long ago. No, it was chilling. It was chilling times in 1990. It was pre-divorce and Charlie Haughey was still in power. But there was hope. There was hope, as Roddy says, and it did manifest itself in those changes that we saw not long after that. They should re-show The Family, says some people. Yeah, I'm sure you can find some of it. You can probably get the DVD online. Just a little quick mention before we go on what we were talking about with Roddy. That exhibition is called Italian 90, Big Jack and the Irish, and it is running in the Little Museum from tomorrow until the 1st of August, and it's curated by Paul Rouse and Mark Duncan. Well, that's all we've time for this morning. Thanks for all your messages all week, and we'll be back again on Tuesday. Enjoy your bank holiday weekend. Sarah McInerney is next.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.